Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy. I'm Kelsey.
And I am Carmen, and it is a beautiful day to podcast. Also, that was very funny to watch. So we have this behind the curtain real quick. We have this little countdown button, and I started a countdown right as Kelsey was like right to... Was there a fuzz on your microphone?
There was like a hair on my microphone, and it was poking me right in my face. And I like leaned over to get a good angle to try and find it right when he did that. So I was trying to accomplish it before the 3-2-1 ended.
Yeah, you have 3 seconds. Nothing is more pressure than you have 3-2-1 action. And it's just like your whole life flashes before your eyes.
It is exactly like that.
Yes. But anyways.
Speaking of lives. What a transition. Am I right?
That was good. Okay. Great A.
Okay, so today we are talking about episode 7. Carmen, what's the title of this episode?
The title of this episode is The Self-Destruct Button, which is a song by Dana Monteith.
Correct. And you listened to it?
I did. I didn't like this one either.
I didn't listen to it, so you'll have to tell me about it. I'm not familiar.
It's like, it just, okay, no disrespect to any Dana Monteith fans out there. It's like a folky, it's like, you know the Lumineers?
Yes, I do.
It's like what I imagine the Lumineers were before they got signed, and they're just like down in a basement with a folksy kind of sound. There's a river out back, and they're just recording in someone's basement.
Was there a date on when this song came out?
Before 2005.
Well... Or in 2005.
Or in 2005. So I will say, so I listened to the song and then I went back and I reread the lyrics after the episode. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but I will say the song was not good.
Okay.
But I do think that the song is relevant, especially as you go through. And I do feel there are a lot of self-destructive tendencies that Meredith, George, and Izzy all display in this episode.
And also some patience.
And some patience. Yes. No spoilers.
No spoilies, but there's some idiots in this one.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I don't know if I'm starting to see a theme, but I definitely do appreciate the... I would love to have this person's job, right? Like, hey, you're going to title the episode of this TV show with... How many viewers this episode, Kelsey?
18.86 million views.
Is that their most to date?
I know. I think there was one that was like 19, but it's definitely lingering around the highest so far.
Yeah, that was good. Anyways, that's all of my soapbox when it comes to the song. So
I'm also confused because I got on the Google to find out when that song was released. And the Google says 2007, which does not track. So...
But unless we have the wrong...
I couldn't find any other songs with this name. Like when I searched it, and then I went to a couple different Grey's Anatomy specific sites, and they all said it was this one. So if we're wrong, tell us.
Let us know. Yeah.
And if we're wrong, then we will tell you back.
But if we're right, leave us a 5-star review.
Even if we're wrong, you should do that.
Yeah, 5-star reviews all around.
Okay, so this episode was written by Kip Koenig, who has written a total of 3 Grey's Anatomy episodes, but has been a consulting and supervising producer for dozens of episodes over the course of the seasons. So, he is a Grey's regular. Now, it was directed by Darnell Martin, who when I Googled, I found out is a female. I had assumed differently based on the name, which was my fault. I shouldn't do that. You are named Carmen and you are a man, so that's what I get. You'd think I would learn.
Yeah, but Darnell is, I would be right there with you.
Yeah.
It's not, is it unisex? I mean, I guess it is.
For this lady, it is. I mean, any name is unisex because you can give any person any name. I have just never experienced it.
Imagine being a woman named Adam.
That probably exists at this point. Who knows?
Goodness gracious.
People will be wilded with these names. So Darnell Martin has directed notably Law and Order, Walking Dead, and Grey's Anatomy. She's also done several short films. So she's
very nice.
More in the film industry now than the television game. So this one aired May 8th, 2005. So yeah, that's what I had on the behind the scenes info.
I love it. That's good info.
Thanks. So this one started with another Previously On. Did you watch the Previously On?
Oh yeah, I don't want to skip it. I was trying to figure out
what it is they want people to remember, right? Like, what are they trying to remind us of? So I was like, okay, George is into Meredith. Obviously, that's a big one. Bailey's mad. Christina and Burke are banging. And maybe the Alex isn't terrible. Kind of sprinkled in.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that stood out to me in the recap was the Bailey and Meredith interaction, which they did circle back to, which is good.
Yes.
But so far, I don't think that we've been left on enough of a cliffhanger at any episode, really, to warrant like a really groundbreaking recap.
Right. And I think maybe potentially because this is, again, 2005, so we're pre-Hulu, but in the middle of TiVo times, maybe.
Right.
So perchance they're just doing it because they're getting more people to watch, and like maybe people are just starting on episodes and having missed. So this was a time maybe Previously Ons were just more important because you just had to go to work if you missed it and say, Carmen, what happened on Grey's Anatomy? And maybe Carmen fills you in, but he forgets something. So then they've got the Previously On to let you know.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there were no Grey's Academy podcasts Truly. To catch you up on Grey's Anatomy back in 2005, which is our fault. We'll take blame for that one.
Yes. Although we're not catching you up on current Grey's Anatomy now. So, so we're 18 seasons behind.
In 8 years, if you stick with us, we will get there. We promise.
We'll be here right with you. Okay, so do you want to start?
Yeah, I could start. Also, this episode, I had to pause, right? So, like, I'm typing notes, and if there's something that's, like, I could get it done in a quick second, I'll just type it out. But there were a lot of times in this episode where I had to pause because my feelings or my typing was so strong.
Okay. I like that.
I will make sure to try to point out some of those moments because there was at least three of them where I was like, no, I got to pause this shit.
I got to let this one sit.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wait. I almost forgot to read the Netflix synopsis. I'm so sorry.
You know,
sorry.
I was going to remind you and I almost forgot because it was smooth.
Luckily, I have it pulled up staring at me and somehow still forgot.
Okay, so
the Netflix synopsis for this one is Derek and Meredith try to be discreet after spending the night together at her house. That's it. That's the first minute of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
That's the summary of the entire 42-minute episode.
Can you imagine also that person's job? Anyways. So the first note that I have is literally a recap. Something big is coming. And then, you know, it really didn't. But yeah. Anyways, so the first thing I love that... Izzy said, it's not just the job that keeps you up. Or no, she said, it's not just the job that keeps you up all night. That was Meredith's inner monologue.
Yeah.
So I, again, this is the exact same scene from the first episode. It's her and Derek smushing booties, having sex, which is great. Really drew me in. Did you have a note for that right off the bat, too? Did that really just stand out to you?
Yeah, I wrote, Meredith and Derek are having all night long sexuals.
Yeah. I also wrote down, have you ever had a roommate that was that loud at having sex? And if not, does that automatically make you the roommate that was loud at having sex all night?
I have had roommates who have sex very loudly, but luckily it was not all night long. Honestly, most of them were typically daytime situations.
A little afternoon delight.
Yeah, like you got to do, you know, to get through college.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to think of that. I don't think I've ever had roommates that I was the one that you. I heard them having sex, so I just assumed that that makes me the bad guy in this scenario. But, oh, wait, hold on. I jumped ahead a little bit. But I like that when they're in the co-ed locker room,
yeah,
again.
I didn't make note of that now. It was like, because you said it last time, I'm like, now every time they're there, I'm just going to think, ew.
Well, it looks like the showers may be separate, but the locker room, they come together, which
yeah,
is not great.
In the one where Izzy, where Alex had put the posters everywhere, she goes into what looks like a separate closed off, maybe a bathroom. I don't know. Whatever works, I guess.
But then Alex says something about someone talks about the sex life, and then Alex says, don't embrace it, share it. And I was like, nice. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, also, Christina, we get there. Okay, first of all, George and Izzy know.
I was just going through my notes. I'm sorry. You got to stop me. I'm just like
no,
going
no,
through
it's
notes.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing this back. That scene was all very funny.
George and Izzy know. George has his feelings hurt, but Izzy's just mad. And then Meredith just lies to their face, which maybe for a second I was like, okay, that's worth being mad about. But that's really not why she's mad. She's not mad that she's lying. She's mad that she's specifically having sex with that specific person.
Right.
So then they get to the hospital. Alex ran there. I don't know what the point of that storyline was. He's a runner, I guess. I don't know. Christina's sick. She has the flu. Or does she?
Oh. Foreshadowing.
And then I wrote, I still love Miranda Bailey. Who knows why? Who knows what she said? Something great.
Well, she was doing an intense rundown of all the stuff, and you could tell that she was clearly being an a-hole to Meredith on purpose.
Yeah.
Because she's throwing all the numbers.
It was when Meredith was reading everything back to her, and she goes, why are you still standing in front of me?
Yes. Yes. I don't know how I feel about that. That's...
Well, that, I feel like, wasn't really specific to the situation. That, I feel like, is just how she has been up to this point. I don't think that specific comment or her telling her all those things to do was specific to the Derek situation. Personally, I don't think it was. Maybe
because of the recap, I was sensitive thinking, oh, everything that she's doing is just a hoop to jump through, right?
Yeah. Okay. So then we go down to the emergency room with Meredith to meet this 17-year-old girl.
Her name is Claire.
Yes, who is having some abdominal pain and clearly a large amount of anxiety because she is just biting her nails, ripping the skin off of her nails. The mother, I wrote, this mother is a nightmare.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Is, what a hellish human being. Like, ugh.
Total garbage.
That is not how you treat someone, especially your child. Jesus.
Well, so my initial guesses were that she was anorexic or pregnant, or she had something that was OCD that was causing her to bite the nails. I didn't get that she was nervous at the time, but I did think that there was some sort of sickness there. But it makes sense, though, with the nerves, with what we find out later on.
Okay, so she... Doodly-doo. Then we meet our friend Digby.
Little Digby.
I wrote, casually scheduled a gunshot. Because he's at the counter saying, I have an appointment. And then you know, he explains to Alex, well, I asked my friend to shoot me. Because I like a scar, whatever. Christina and Alex are there. They wheel him to wherever they wheel him. And I wrote, gunshot man is a little bit very dumb. Because
a little bit incredibly dumb. So dumb. The most dumb.
I appreciate a lot about his character, but I don't appreciate the scheduling of the gunshot or saying, you know, oh, pain is my ethos over and over again.
My ethos is pumpkin pie. That's my ethos.
There you go. Mine is Oreos.
Christmas Oreos
specifically. Oreos and naps.
So, okay, real quick, I want to shout two things out. Number one, I'm just so glad. So this, I write all my notes, but I don't exactly remember the physical flow of the show. So, Kelsey, you're just so great. So thank you for
thank
you. Know,
you.
giving the listeners a cohesive thought, and then I'll just come in with just babble consciousness, which is all I have here.
Well, I feel like I don't write enough notes sometimes, so sometimes you remember a little more clearly, and it can jog my memory of to what my note means. So it's a good team effort over here.
Yes, I feel really good about it. And then also, I wrote, that was a lot to happen all before the opening montage.
The thing came up, and almost right as the same second, I thought to myself, did I miss it?
Yeah.
Did I accidentally hit skip intro? And then it came on, and I said, oh, no, I didn't. So, yeah, it was several minutes in.
Let's recap. George and Izzy find out that McDreamy is the one.
Sleeping together.
Yep. Then Alex runs to work, and then Claire has some sort of thing with her stomach in a, you know, hell parent situation, and then Digby got shot. That's a lot to, five minutes? That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a longer time before the intro drop, for sure.
And only, literally, so many of those things, 75% of those things were not covered in the synopsis.
Yeah, correct. Okay, so we learn a little bit more about Alex, because him and Digby are bonding.
Oh, that's right.
And we find out Alex is a wrestler. He's from Iowa. They connect. This is a good episode for Alex. Very good connection. Not a lot of assholery. A little bit of annoying, like, bro, quote unquote, time. Like, anytime he walks up on them and they're talking about sex, you know, he has to have one of those bro comments. But other than that, he's definitely making a turn on his character. I think this is a big episode for him, but we'll get more into that. And then we go back to Claire, and she admits that she had a surgery. She admits to Meredith that she had a surgery. And at that point, did you have a guess, or did you still think? Because it was multiple times that they introduced the concept of she's done something before they actually say what it is.
So I don't know a ton of surgeries that you could have that are in your abdomen.
Fair.
Area. I thought either she had, like, a really just invasive abortion across the border. But then I also thought, coincidentally, gastric bypass did actually come to mind, because I know people that have had, like, lap band surgeries and things like that. So that makes sense to me. The thing that didn't cross my mind was, until later on, was how does she pay for it? And number two, I didn't realize, I thought that she was just 18 with her parents. So I for some reason thought that there was going to be some sort of patient doctor confidentiality that was going to come into play, which was not the case. So I misread that situation a little bit.
Yes. So I think definitely the assumption, I think, for most people would probably be botched abortion. And that's what Bailey says later on when Meredith is telling her about it. So I think that would definitely be a reasonable assumption. And then, we go and we meet that precious little girl. She was cute.
Oh,
that is
so
a cute kid. That is what I wrote. That is a cute kid. And she's having a leg twitch. And the parents, they say, we took her to county or whatever, which I think the implication is they live further out. They don't live in the city. And so it was kind of a trek for them to bring her all the way in. And then George is mad because he has to get involved and go talk to Derek. And he's mad because he wants to sleep with Meredith.
And then, so I like, they're like, is he good? And George is like, at just about everything.
Shut up, George.
What a stupid a-hole.
Jesus Christ.
But, you know, you're the mother of a daughter. I have a daughter on the way. So that episode, I was so nervous that kid was going to die.
I knew she didn't die, obviously, because I've seen it before. But I was definitely, like, hyper invested and very, like, I was having a lot of anxiety watching, especially later when she's in the surgery and she's, like, waking up. I was like, I will fight this man.
That was one of the scenes that I had to pause, which we will get to in a moment.
Bad news bears over for me.
Was this the first time you watched this episode since having Scarlet?
Yeah. This is, so, a lot of times now, because there are so many seasons, I don't go back past a certain point for reasons like that we'll get into when we get into them.
Okay.
So I haven't watched the first season in a very long time for sure. So
I just love that everyone gets to come on this journey with us.
Yeah. Okay, so then Christina and Burke are talking in the hallway. Burke is concerned that she's sick. He's like, wants her to go home. She goes, you go home. I just love her so much. Well, and then he goes to like take his own. He's like, oh, I'm fine. And then he goes to take his own pulse. Like, maybe I'm not fine. So funny.
Well, she said, you did this to me. Like, you got me sick. And he's perfectly fine. Yeah. Obviously, you see things later on. But
I mean, technically, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. But like, you don't tell someone who's like totally fine, like, you got me sick. Like, what do you mean? I don't even have the sniffles.
I love her.
So there was a nice.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say there was a nice moment shortly after that with Burke and Alex with Digby.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I liked their bonding moment.
And when Burke has like known him, he's met him before for the same reason, basically.
Yeah,
and he says, "You stop coming in," and there's an exchange to imply that they've had a working relationship prior to this.
It's nice. Well, then you start to see, I don't know, again, like you said, this is a good episode for Alex. I think that was a good moment of like, hey, my boss gets to see me connecting with this guest,
right.
Or this patient, right? From my hometown, which is kind of cool. But
and then
anyways.
He says something and Burke just shoots him a look that's like, you don't be dumb like this guy. And Alex just has a smirk on his face and it just kind of, oh, right.
Is that when he said pain is his ethos?
I don't know, because Digby says something and Alex agrees, and then Burke shoots him a look that's like, that's not this, shut up. Because he can't tell the patient to shut up, but he can tell Alex to shut up.
Too funny.
And then let's see. Derek tells George that he needs to order a new scan or whatever, which is completely valid. And George waits till the elevator door closes, and he's like, "Doc, shut up! He's so annoying."
Yeah, this was not a good episode for George.
I'm not into it.
There was one scene where George was good, and then the rest of them were garbage.
Yeah. And so then he gets the new scans, and that's when the anesthesiologist walks by and is drunk, and the orderly is like, oh yeah, he's always drunk. He just is drunk.
Yeah, not cool. What is this, House?
Yeah, honestly. So that's a bummer. And so then they get the new scans, blah, blah, blah. George and Dr. Shepherd are there together with the family. And I've definitely skipped around.
You skipped the scene where they finally announced that Claire has that bad gastric bypass.
Yeah, because I wrote, this mom is the devil.
Yeah, I wrote, yo, that mom sucks ass. She's not good. Like, okay, again, but first off, where did she get the money for a gastric bypass? Because even if you're going to illegally do it in Mexico, it's not like that's going to be cheap. That's got to be, what, a $10,000 to $15,000 surgery minimum? Also,
it's probably cheaper in 2005 in Mexico, but still be expensive. I would say maybe like $2,000 or $3,000.
Oh my gosh, I wouldn't trust a surgery for $2,000 or $3,000.
Well, you shouldn't. That's why she has to come back to the hospital. It was done poorly.
But that mom's a bitch.
Yeah,
she's
sucks. Truly a terrible person.
And then the dad, he's trying to be there for his daughter, and she's like, no. Are we going to have this conversation right now?
Yeah.
How about you go fuck yourself?
Honestly, it's the worst.
But then we jump back to where you were at with
So George
Derek
and Shepherd
and
are there talking to the kid. Shepherd is honestly very great with the kid, and I think it pisses George off because he wants to be mad at him, but he's doing a really good job. But I did take note, it's really annoying, and this happens a lot in this show and a lot of other medical shows that I watch, when a patient, or in this case the parents, are expressing concerns about how expensive the surgery or whatever is going to be, the treatment is going to be, and they're not sure if their insurance is covered, and the doctor just goes, oh, don't worry about that right now. Well, when are they going to worry about it, bro? Like,
Once it's too late and you did it?
It's all the time. So they just blow it off and never address it. It just really annoys me. It happens a lot and I find it frustrating.
Yeah. It's not like... So in Scrubs, this is your episodic correlation back to Scrubs. There's ways that these hospitals can get around the insurance piece, right? Like they'll, you know, move money around, or they'll like send a certain billing thing to someone else's insurance and put it under a different name, or it's under a dummy account or something like that. Like they have these workarounds, and you can't tell the patient that, right? But in that moment, you could have, Dr. Shepherd, Shepherd's Pie, could have said, "Hey, we will take care of that."
Right.
Don't
like,
worry.
When they have pro bono stuff, which is basically
right.
when the doctors say, "I'll just do it and don't charge me." So yeah, it's frustrating. It happens a lot on a lot of medical shows that I watch, and it frustrates me always because I have similar concerns about many things in my own life when it comes to things like that.
Well, just money in general. It's not an easy topic for people. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, and then I wrote, "It's nice to see Alex connecting with a patient again, even if the guy is dumb." And then we go back to the parents. The dad is trying to be there for the daughter, trying to step up, and the mom is just shutting it down and causing more, like, literally just causing more problems. I don't understand. And this, no one ever is talking about the fact that this girl is already skinny. I don't understand. She's already skinny, and the mom's like, "Oh, I had to buy her size 6 jeans." As though size 6 is not skinny.
I don't know.
Thin.
I don't know a lot about women's sizing, but
it's
size
garbage,
6.
First of all, but
What'd you say?
It's garbage, first of all, but it's size 6 is small, and that girl is small.
Yeah, I just, nothing about that girl screamed to me that she has, like, she's obese or she needs this kind of at all animalistic, just relentless treatment from her mom.
Also, yeah, it seems like that's all her mom focuses on. Like, if that's what she did, then her mom has never acknowledged anything else she's accomplished, because the dad's over here saying she gets A's. She's 17 and she's in college, which to me implies that maybe she skipped a grade or is ahead a little bit at least, and she's getting A's. I mean, for crying out loud.
Yeah, cut the girl some slack here.
What does it matter if she is overweight? That's just, there's so much more to a human being than their weight.
And also, if your kid decides to go to Mexico to do a surgery, you gotta be like, okay, why? Right?
Yes,
first off,
this woman
why?
Has no self-awareness.
No. Look in the mirror.
It's straight up solely her fault.
100%.
This isn't one of those things when you're like, oh, a little influence, I shouldn't have said this one thing. No, this is 100% your fault. No one else is to blame. Only you.
At all. That's
maybe
it.
The dad for not stepping in earlier, but clearly she makes it difficult for him.
Yeah. Also, if that was my relationship, I'm divorcing that woman. I'm leaving
I'm honestly, it's like, well, he's got to be there to protect that kid, or at least try at some point. You don't leave her alone with that kid. Jeez.
Fight for custody. It's okay. Hold on. It'd only be like, what? You have to imagine less than a year.
At that point, yeah. But at this point, the damage has clearly been done.
Clearly been done.
It's it's a terrible situation. Be nice to your kids. Don't body shame people.
It's not hard. Don't body shame anyone. Like,
exactly.
Be there for them. Then we have that funny fucking key guy.
Oh my God.
I don't like that guy or that
girl.
I hate either of those people too.
Like,
yeah.
It's not even as though I should be on one side or the other. I just think maybe they should be together. They're both awful.
Yeah. When she yells that first off, I thought that it was a key.
A
not
single
key.
No, it's her keys.
Her keys.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of things that I paused. This is one of the moments that I paused because I wrote, what a dumb fucking moron.
Yeah. Correct.
And she said that he is the king of passive aggressive, but she's no angel.
Right. And I'm like, that specific action of swallowing the keys isn't even passive aggressive. It's not passive at all. You took her keys and swallowed them. That is active. That's not passive. And then, but she was talking about how he called her therapist, pretending to be his therapist, to ask what she said about him. But I still don't think a therapist would share that, even if you did that. I mean, I don't know. If you're a therapist, let me know what the rules are on that.
I mean, you could do it. You could call someone's therapist saying that you're their therapist and ask for the information, but that doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Even if you were and could verify that, I don't know if they would share that information.
I hope not.
Anyways, those people suck. So then we're back to the precious little girl. And they're just going to take out half her brain. Half of that child's brain
super
is
casual.
Dead. And they're just going to... I wrote, this is wild. They're just going to take out half of her brain. And they're just going to do it. And then it's going to be fine.
Well, that sounds like a cheap surgery my insurance will definitely cover.
I mean, first of all, he's looking at the scan. Half of her brain is dead. What? How is half of her brain dead? And her only symptom is that sometimes her leg twitches.
Well, that's what I had a hard time understanding this. And anyone who's out there who's a brain surgeon listening to this podcast while you're doing surgery,
please
don't. Yeah, please pay attention. But also let us know, because he said that the brain is still forming.
Right.
So
which is
all
true.
Of, well, yes, but she's got to be what, 5 or 6 years old?
No, she's two. They say it. She's
oh, is that
like 2.5, 3.
Okay. Well, clearly I have no.
Yeah,
perception at all.
Child. She could like not say a full sentence.
Okay,
that's not a six-year-old.
I'm about to be a dad.
I mean, maybe because her brain's dead. I don't know. No, she's like 2.5 or 3, I think.
Okay, so that makes more sense to me, I guess. I thought this was an older child. And I'm sitting here thinking, how long does it take for this brain to develop? Like my child falls down the stairs at the age of 5 and just, oh,
no,
you gotta
worries,
cut out half your brain.
We'll get her a fresh brain.
Yeah, she's got the other half still. It's fine.
Yeah, so they basically say that they're going to get rid of it, and then the spinal fluid that your body just produces will fill up the empty hole, and you'll just have a new brain. You might have to relearn some things, but ultimately, in the long term, everything will be completely normal and fine, which is insane. Again, and we're not doctors, so we're really just taking this show at face value and believing everything they say to us. So if this is wildly incorrect, please feel free to tell us. But I'm going to say it's true because it's very dramatic.
I also, that the fluid thing, right? They said spinal fluid?
Yeah, spinal fluid.
So...
I don't know. I don't know what... What are you,
just,
what?
Your body, right? I'm assuming, because, you know, skin keeps things in as much as it keeps things out, right? So your spinal fluid is getting reused in your body. So what egregious amount of spinal fluid is your body okay with losing that it's okay to just fill up a fucking brain cavity?
Well, I think that your body, if it is working correctly, is supposed to just produce a certain amount and stop. Because... there are things in this show later on, and also people that I know in real life, where you get a spinal tap, and then they drain the spinal fluid out of your spine if there's a buildup, because sometimes your body can make too much, and then there'll be like a buildup in your spine, and it can cause issues. A lot of people that I know have had that done because they're like constant migraines, and that's one of the things they attempt to do, because I guess it's really painful, but it's not terribly invasive. I could be wrong. Again, I'm not a doctor. We're going to have to put it on a t-shirt. That's the phrase for the
I'm
show.
I'm not a doctor. That's at the end of, I think, Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Hard to say.
Fremulon, not a doctor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
Yeah?
It is right there.
Not a doctor.
Anyways, so yes, I believe that your spine is supposed, your body just makes this. To the point that you need, and then is supposed to know to stop. So I guess if it just can keep making it, it will just fill up your brain. If there's an empty hole there, and then it will fill it up, and then it will stop. Hopefully, in theory, that's, I guess, the goal. Anyways, so that's the surgery, and then George goes to tell Christina, and then that's when Christina tells George that she knows, and George is mad. And then Izzy comes, and they all talk about it together. It's a great moment. I love it. Also, Christina buys something from the vending machine and immediately throws it away and then buys a coffee. And I just noticed that and thought, why?
Yeah. So a couple of things. One, Christina eating a cookie is for sure a mood.
Yes.
That should be, like, describe how you're feeling. Like, anxious,
that
nervous. Christina eating a cookie. And then, because it looked good. It looks like a good cookie.
That's a great cookie.
And then they're all standing next to that cart. Alex looks like just a monster eating that donut.
I'm like, have you ever eaten food before? Honestly.
Ever.
What are you doing?
It's just like he's actively, it takes more effort to eat that disgusting than to just eat, like, because there's just cream everywhere in that donut. Gross. And yeah, that was a bit wild. I didn't like that. But I think we skipped over a scene where the mom was talking about the freshman 15 thing. And I'm like, damn, this Tina is a bitch.
Yeah, she truly is.
So anyways, I just wanted to make sure I brought that note up because freshman 15, go fuck yourself. Who cares?
Honestly, yeah. It's everything this woman
it's
says
called being an adult.
It's garbage. Yeah.
Try the pandemic 40, right?
Good times. 2020 and 2021. Am I right? What a time. It's almost 2022. 100%. Okay. Wild. Okay. And then I do want to touch on Christina. She's not really defending what Meredith's doing. She's kind of just trying to brush it off as not being a big deal. And it's not, again, it's not about Meredith. We as an audience know that it's about her. And she's just defending the action, not the specific coupling. But I thought it was interesting that she wasn't super defensive. She was really like, what do you care what she does in her own time? Like, she's good at her job. What does it matter how she unwinds?
Yeah. It also, I think later on in the episode, they call her out and they're like, why aren't you more upset? Or maybe it was that scene. Was that the same one? Where
yeah,
they were
so.
Like, you should be more upset, I think. Is Izzy said that? Or maybe George said that?
So.
I don't remember whose.
Yeah, no, Izzy like, says yeah. it. I can't believe you're not pissed off about this of all people. And that's when Christina says, well, she works hard. She's good at her job. Why do you care how she unwinds? She says, you like to bake all night. Others like to drink. Others like an occasional screaming orgasm. And that's when Alex shows up and goes, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And then shoves the donut all over his face like a wild person.
Yeah. Seemingly just smash it in his hand and then put it on his face. Didn't even, I don't know. That's a whole, I could do a whole podcast about that scene.
Yeah.
So after that, we also have, I feel like Bailey is being a bit unreasonable because they're in the surgery now, right? Is that where they go next, or is there a scene I'm skipping? Because they transition where Meredith is in the surgery with this gastric bypass fixing situation.
I don't think I took any note. Yeah, I didn't take a note on that because then my next note is about when George calls out the anesthesiologist, but I don't know if I just skipped the...
That's after.
Okay.
So that comes right after. So yeah.
Well, when the thing explodes on her, when after they're having the conversation.
Yes. So, and then she walks into, oh no, that's later on. I don't want to skip that note because that's a very funny note that I made. But Bailey, poor choice of timing to really die on this hill of you're going to make Meredith learn a lesson. Like there's a human surgery happening right
it's
here.
It's also, there are so many other people in that room.
Oh, 100%.
And later on in the series, they really get into this a lot. They have speakers and microphones that go up to the gallery where, like, everyone can watch the surgery. And so you can hear both ends, like, what's being said and stuff. And so, I mean, maybe they can turn it off or whatever, but I'm just like, everyone can hear you. I mean, maybe I'm not supposed to think that in this scenario. But there are a lot of other people in that room, and there's a time, but yeah. She does say half this hospital knows your business. So
yeah, but my thing is like, okay, the first time she brings it up to Meredith and she's like, look, I'm not going to let you just do this shit when other people are working hard and busting their asses, because then I got to deal with it.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm on your side. 100%. Once you start, like, you've shifted, you've drastically overcorrected, and now you're just being a dick just for the point of being a dick. And in the middle of that surgery was the wrong place, especially then this girl's freaking insides exploded, and she's got white gunk all over her. No, that's disgusting.
Cute.
And then the George scene happens.
Yes, so... Yeah, this one was rough because, again, we as the audience know what George is doing is the right thing. And it sucks to see it go down the way it does. Obviously, ultimately, it comes back around and it's addressed. But it sucks that I mean, Shepard kind of questions it after he kicks George out. He, for a minute, you know, is a little bit lingering. He's like, you better be good to go. And then right. the doctor says, oh, I'm fine. I wouldn't be here. Well, whatever. It just sucks that as much as I do find George annoying, I 100% think he did the right thing. And it sucks that he loses out on that surgery because of it.
Well, and then also, too, the scene, like, immediately after, everyone turns and looks at him like, oh, like, we all know, but we weren't going to say anything, and this guy's saying it. Like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Right.
And I don't know. What would you do in that scenario? Would you think you could have that kind of boldness, or do you think that you're like,
personally,
I'm not saying anything.
I don't think I would say it to that guy. I think I would say it to Dr. Shepard beforehand and maybe say something along the lines of, hey, I would bet a lot of money that he's drunk right now, and I don't feel like he should be in this position where he is very much in control of a child's life or anybody, but especially a little bebe.
Yeah, it's if it was me, I would have said, hey, Dr. Shepard, could I speak with you outside for just a quick
moment?
Exactly,
yeah.
And then be like, yo, did this guy's drunk.
This guy is trashed.
Like, do you not smell it? And if you do, how do you not say anything?
Yeah.
I would call him out in that moment. But yeah, it's tough.
Anesthesiologists, I think, honestly, are one of the highest paid medical doctors that you can be.
I wonder why.
I think it's because truly, well, I don't know that they're the highest paid, but that when you break down a hospital bill, a lot of times the anesthesiology is what is very high. And I think, honestly, more of that is because of the medical malpractice. A lot of it is, if there's an issue, there can be a lot on the anesthesiologist. If you obviously wake up or don't have a correct dosage or anything. So I think there's a lot of it, on that, because, you know, the hospital has to insure themselves and the doctors for medical malpractice. It's a whole thing, but they do get paid a lot of money. But it is a very specific science, because you don't want people waking up during surgery.
It's one of my biggest fears.
Yeah. I don't love it.
We get to watch later on in this episode.
It's not fun.
Before we get there, though, so the next note that I said I wanted to come back to, so they walk into, Meredith walks back into the co-ed locker room area, and unless there's a scene, please interrupt me if I jump
too
far.
Yeah, I think we see some keys. We see the key scene first.
Talk about the key scene, because
this relationship is not good at all.
No, not at all.
These people suck. They both suck. It's terrible. They're just yelling at each other, and then, you know, there's a moment of panic, and you almost think, oh, these people are going to stay together. And then Izzy is just like, go away. Go away. Please leave. Forever.
Get in your car and go for all our sakes.
And then I would say 94% confident that there is a Mickey Mouse keychain on that woman's keys.
We should go back and watch just to confirm.
I just feel very certain that there is a little baby Mickey Mouse on there.
Also, how did Izzy not kick her out after the first heinous thing that she's saying? She's clearly
she
not helping.
She says a lot of things, and Izzy's just trying to say, oh, maybe just calm down. Oh, and then finally she tells her to get out, and then he almost dies. And then the girl says, you did that on purpose. And it's just psychotic. Those people should not. I go back and forth, and those people should not be together. I'm like, maybe they should, because they're both just terrible.
Maybe. They've earned each other in some sort of...
Yeah, that's... I don't want to inflict either
life
of them on other people, so...
Nope.
Although, while we're on this, we'll go ahead and take a small break for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
So, excellent, by the way. Thank you so much. I love that.
Thank you.
That we only had one this episode. Interestingly
really?
Enough. Yes, and it was Athena, the terrible girl with the keys guy.
Oh, yeah.
And her name in real life is Ever Carradine. So, what a name. And she was in an episode of Private Practice. And that's all.
Nice.
Small one. Small one for this episode.
But still important, because it's a segment that people look forward to and people need to know.
It's important.
Also, in the spirit of actors, so I knew I recognized the guy who played Digby. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember from where, so I had to pause and do an IMDb search.
And where did you recognize him from?
Well, so his name is Russell Hornsby. Okay, mm-hmm. He's done a lot of small things, but I recognized him as a recurring character in the show Suits.
Ah, one of your favorites.
Yes, he is the ex-husband of Jessica Pearson, and he plays a businessman slash entrepreneur that suffers from ALS.
Ah.
So, yeah. I just wanted to bring that back up. I had written that down, and I wanted to share that. And I thought Living in Shondaland was a good time to bring up another actor crossover.
I agree. Okay.
Now,
so
where were we?
Okay, so this is when Bailey and Meredith are walking to go into the co-ed locker room. And Meredith and Bailey are talking about the hoops and whatever. And Bailey, it does seem to me like she's letting up a little bit because she says that she's going to make Meredith go talk to the people with the stuff still in her hair. And then she kind of laughs it off and it's like, no, go shower first. So, she's a little bit still harping on it, but she's also a little bit coming around and understanding that maybe she's having too much of a reaction. So, and then that's when she goes into the locker room and everyone tells her she smells, and you have a note to share.
Yes. So I had to turn the subtitles on this one because I thought there's no way that Izzy would have said what I thought she said. Because she walks in, she said, oh, that stinks. And then Christina goes, oh, you smell like, and then Izzy goes, she says karma. But I would have put money on her saying cum. I thought she said, you smell like cum.
Ew.
Yes. That's why I was like, okay, that can't be true because this was inside of someone. This was like pus
it
sitting
was, yeah,
in the middle
of someone's...
Yeah,
it was the abscess around the staple in her stomach that was infected that exploded.
Yeah.
So it was not semen.
Well, yes, but that's what I'm saying.
Correct.
So I had to turn the subtitles on because I listened to it 3 times and I couldn't hear what she said. So I had to turn the subtitles on. But yeah, karma. Anyways,
that was
my note.
Izzy is being eye roll emoji.
Yeah, she is.
And so Bailey sends Christina off to go do the surgery with Dr. Shepherd.
But not after Izzy was an actual a-hole in front of Dr. Bailey.
Right. So Dr. Bailey comes back in and says, Dr. Shepherd needs someone. Christina tries to go. Bailey says, no, you need to go home. I don't remember why she didn't send Izzy.
I don't think there was. Well, she's
like, oh, Meredith, which is weird. It is weird that she did that because A, Meredith has the gunk in her hair, and B, Bailey's the one that's constantly like trying to keep them apart.
Unless it was Bailey's way of, because you like you said, you just come across a scene where she's trying to be nice.
Right.
Maybe that's Bailey's way of telling Meredith like, hey,
I'm
we're good.
It. Yeah.
You know,
potentially.
But, maybe. But then Izzy's like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, right. And right in front of Bailey, I'm like, you're going to go on and on about this girl being unprofessional and you're going to have this very dramatic high school meltdown in front of your superior. That's not that much better.
No. Worse. So,
yeah.
Maybe.
Everyone just calm down.
Yeah.
So we get that. And then Bailey says, looks like I'm not the only one with hoops.
Yeah.
But I do think in that moment she kind of not necessarily feels bad for Meredith, but is not on Izzy's side. Because, again, I think Izzy reacts poorly. And Bailey is also not a fan of the drama and the yelling because that's not what she wants to be doing with her time.
No, not at all. And then we have that scene. Obviously, you go to Christina in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And she for sure smells that alcohol.
Yeah, instantly. And she looks at George. And George earlier, we forgot to mention this, when they're at the coffee cart, asked about the anesthesiologist.
Right.
And is like, do you think he drinks at work? And then just kind of shrugs it off. She's looking at George. She's trying to figure out what happened. Then we go, Meredith is telling the parents what happened. And the dad finally tells Tina to shut up. Thank God.
Loved
Thank
that.
God. Shut up, Tina, you dumb hoe.
Dumb hoe, Tina.
What a rude lady. Mike was just and a bad parent.
Yeah, it's not even that she's rude, right? Like, she's just not good at any... Like, there was not one redeeming quality that you see in that entire episode of her.
Yeah, truly. She never has empathy. She never... everything is just another thing for her to tear her kid down. Just not good. It's not good.
No.
Anyways, so then we go to Digby.
Digby!
He's having a rough time. Doesn't look great. His tattoo of a spider is... quite literally crawling off of his skin.
Yeah.
Because it's infected and it looks gross.
That is the reason that I will not get a tattoo.
Well, I have two and none of them did that because I don't also get shot after I have tattoos.
Oh, right. Totally. That's,
also,
that's,
even if I had gotten shot after getting a tattoo, I would immediately disclose that information to my doctors.
Well, yeah, you would. One would think. But the way he made it sound is that it was infected already.
Yeah. And he didn't tell them because, you know, oh, I didn't want to complain about a little bit of pain. Okay, that's not what you're doing. You're just giving a medical history so that you don't die.
Which, spoiler alert,
oh, no.
happens.
but before that, we go back to the baby surgery.
Yes.
And this is when the waking up happens. And it's really bad. And it was very upsetting to watch. I was really stressed out. And I knew she didn't die. But I was just like, is this a joke? I was ready to fight that fictional doctor.
Well, so here's the thing. So again, one of my biggest fears, I wasn't understanding at first because when it looked like it was, he was looking through the glasses.
Right.
It looked kind of blurry as if he was falling asleep.
Oh,
because of how tired he was. But then I start seeing the girl move and I was like, wait, hold on a second. And then he says she's waking up. I paused because I literally said, I think I typed out, oh my fuck, oh shit, he is asleep, oh my gosh, oh no fuck, all caps.
Yeah. And Christina is trying to figure out what's happening, and she says he's asleep. Then Shepherd has to yell so many times.
Like
three
loud.
Or four times, and like very at the top of his lungs, and that man is, I don't know, 4 feet away from him. And this is when... he does step up and do the right thing. You know, obviously they get the girl back under. And then he's immediately gets him out of there and tells a nurse to get a new anesthesiologist in and tells him to just go away until he can get his shit together, basically.
Yeah. That was so bad.
It was terrible to watch. It was so upsetting to watch. And honestly, that was the most... if it had been an adult, I would have been like, wow, that's a shitty doctor. But I would not have been as upset as I was.
No.
Which I think is the point.
But okay, anesthesiologist, right? Screws up any surgery, you're in pain. Girl starts moving in the middle of a surgery where they're taking half of her brain out.
Yeah.
What? No, yeah. That dude's got to get fired. I hope I never see him again. Don't spoil it for me. I just hope I never see him again.
Okay. So then we go back to Digby and Alex. It's not looking good. Digby... having a hard time. Burke and Alex are working on him. Then we cut back really quickly to the end of the surgery, and Derek like signals to George to come around so he can talk to him. And I really like this moment because I think it makes Derek more likable because he's going out of his way to apologize to George and be like, you did the right thing. I didn't, because of this quote unquote code that doctors have to like not question anything. And you were right to say something, and you know, you were a better man, and I should have been a better doctor today. And I just thought that was a nice moment, even, you know, whatever other scenario aside, I just think professionally that's a very good look.
Yeah. Well, and then, in the beginning of the moment, George is like definitely being ungracious, right? Like,
well,
he's like,
because I think he thinks he's going to get in trouble still.
Right. But even if that's the case, like, oh, I got it, I screwed up, and then walks away. Like, your boss is still talking to you first.
Yeah.
Like, but also, like, you're being a childish little punk.
Yeah,
like,
that is.
Grow up. Yeah. In my opinion. It's just, this is not a good episode for George. But, to your point, I like, and again, George is even kind of ungracious when he's like, yeah, accept my handshake, because also, now,
yes,
Derek knows... that George knows that Derek knows that George knows.
Right.
About them and him and Meredith.
Right. And he just says, you saw me leaving the house this morning. And she goes, oh, was that you?
Yeah.
Smooth. I do, again, I like the moment gets addressed. He says, I'm not using her. I'm not trying to take advantage. I care about her. She's, and then George says, she's pretty great, or whatever dumb shit he says. And Derek says, I know. And it's just, it's not going to smooth it over because George is in love with Meredith and it's dumb. But I do think it makes it easier to, for George to understand that there's more there than maybe he is accepting.
Well, yeah, and then we find out that Meredith and Izzy obviously have that talk towards the end of the episode as well in a few moments.
Yeah.
I will say, so before that happens, so is there anything that I skip if I jump right to the conversation where they're at the house and they're talking while they're making cake?
Yes, yeah, several things, because you skip they cut back to Digby and he actually dies.
Digby dies, right. Sorry, that which note is, for some reason I had after this. That's my fault.
Which is bad and sad. But I did write that I think that Digby dying is the writers trying to make us as an audience like come around on Alex altogether, because you don't have a lot of bad things with Alex in this episode, and specifically him and this patient really have a good connection. We learn more backstory about Alex, and to see him lose that is kind of a bummer. And it's kind of the first moment you really feel bad for Alex, to this level. And it's sad, you know, he even says he's the first guy I met out here from my home, and there was just a lot of connection, and it was a bummer. And but yeah, I do think that was kind of them saying, okay, we can't make everyone hate this guy anymore.
He started getting death threats. We should tone it back.
Yeah, exactly. And then Meredith tells Claire that she called social services, I understand, but I'm honestly, who she should have called was a psychiatrist. Like, that girl and her mother both need therapy separately and together, because that, I just think that's going to help a lot more than social services is. And also then it's unresolved. That's just it. Oh, I called social services. That's a lot to put on a family. That's not going to be great. And then they just never address it.
It's, you know, it's something though, right? Like, clearly there's some sort of child abuse, emotional child abuse here. So I don't know. I like that she did it. I will say, you know, if social services comes in and then they find, hey, we're going to recommend you do some therapy, at least some resolution comes from it. But
yeah,
maybe they need that push where it's a state mandate, or maybe there's a procedure where if you call social services, they have to mandate a therapy session amount. I don't know.
That's a lot for us to assume. Yeah, hopefully good things came from it. She's 17. It's not like a huge deal. She'll be 18 soon, I'm sure. And, you know, whatever. But she needs therapy to undo all the terrible things her mother did to her. And then her mother needs therapy to learn to not be a shit person.
The husband's going to need therapy, too.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so then we're at the conversation with Izzy and Meredith. So
I liked that. I liked that conversation. It's the first time that anyone really calls out Meredith and is like, yo, you had your entire life handed you on a silver spoon.
You are fucking privileged.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a trailer park girl who literally posed in her underwear to get herself through school. Like, I got that, made me like Izzy a lot more, regardless of if she was right or wrong. Like,
right.
Like, not giving Meredith the courtesy to say, do you want to hear the story about how I slept with this guy who turned out to be my boss? No. Well, okay.
Well,
that's
I
on you, Izzy. Yeah. But it made me respect Izzy a lot more, knowing that she came from nothing. And it makes me want to see her find more success in this show as it goes on.
Yeah. The insight into Izzy's background is great. I really like, I appreciate that. And it also, when you go back and look at the whole episode with that mindset, it makes more sense that is where her anger is coming from, and not just, oh, I don't like what you're doing. I do think there's more validity to her annoyance at the situation if she sees it like that. They just got to drop it in, you know, it's not this sob story. It's just, I grew up in a trailer park. I had to put myself through medical school. You know, when I walk into an OR, people hope I'm the nurse. So it's just a little bit more of a different perspective, about being in the medical field and being a female in the medical field, and then even being a female in the medical field, how that can differ from other females in medical fields. So it's just an interesting take on it. And I do really like the conversation. And then obviously they get into the, oh, you're falling for him. Oh my God, you have feelings. You're not a robot, blah, 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 which is also a nice moment.
But and it also they're really be enough the to ground. Then make it okay.
Yeah, it's like, true. But I think it's more about just the connection between the two of them. And then just kind of the understanding. And, you know, up to this point, I think we can assume that Izzy does think it's been a one night stand, or, you know, she doesn't have all, again, she doesn't have all the information. So for her to learn, oh, they are in a actual relationship, she has feelings for him. You know, it wasn't the plan, but this is where we are. And what I also like is Meredith doesn't really fight back. She's not really defending the fact that she's privileged. She has a leg up in the field already because of who her mother was, blah, 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 all this stuff. I like that she just, like, sits with it. And she doesn't really argue. And she hears Izzy out. And then she doesn't try and defend what she's doing. And that's when Izzy puts it together that she actually has feelings for Derek. I think sometimes you just need to say the shit that you want to say and not have someone argue with you. And whether that's right or wrong, I think that's kind of what happened here.
It's, yes, I agree. But at least in that moment, it wasn't like Izzy was just throwing daggers with her words, right? It was, right. I'm upset at you because of your privilege. It wasn't, you are a garbage person. You don't even deserve these because you're not good at your job. Like, she didn't go down this rabbit hole of being mean just to be mean, right? So I respect that point of view from Izzy. I also, you're falling for him conversation, yeah, felt very much the butler convincing Osborn in Spider-Man 3 that, no, you should be helping Spider-Man. I saw the stuff that your dad went through in episode 1, right? Like, it felt very... Spoiler, by the way, if you haven't seen Tobey Maguire's Spider-Mans, I'm sorry. But it felt very much like, okay, you're going to give this just an easy way out. But all in all, the point of what I'm trying to say is, if Izzy is jealous about having sex, I'd be happy to give it for her because I care about her character development. That's what I'm trying to say.
Maybe you're missing the point, but it's fine.
No, obviously, I'm just kidding.
I just think it's a good insight and a good insight into, because they're not, you know, they're not best friends. Obviously, Christina and Meredith have a bond, and Izzy and Meredith have a different bond, but they're not, you know, besties. They're very different people. Meredith's maybe a little more withheld. And Izzy's very bubbly, outgoing, positive, whatever. And so it's just nice when they have that connection and that relationship. And also this sets up, Izzy bakes a lot. And that is like a through line throughout the entire series. And this is one of the first times we see it. So fun note to that.
It's also, I'm glad you bring that up, because initially when Christina said that, I actually thought she meant pot.
No, she means baked goods.
Right. I get that now, which right, makes me like Izzy's character even more because of my weakness to baked goods.
Sweet.
So
yes.
Not only am I in love with her because that she's Katherine Heigl, but also she bakes, like, and she does stuff out by the dumpsters for people who get hurt with uninsured people. Like, she's the best.
what a lady. We end.
Take
the
us
ending.
The last scene. Yeah.
The
take
ending.
It away.
We see Burke taking what I assume is maybe some soup and crackers into the on-call room to look for Christina. And you think, oh, that's so nice. He's trying to take care of her. Oh, where is she? Oh, she's in the bathroom. She must be throwing up. Oh, no, she's taking a pregnancy test. Oh, multiple pregnancy tests? Oh, no. So glad they showed us that condom 2 episodes ago.
I know. I just was thinking that. What? Why
so
make the
what
point?
What was your reaction?
They that was a planned misdirect, like 100%, or there's another guy that they're not showing us. Like, I had a lot of feelings with that last scene.
What were
because
they?
I'm saying I went back because I'm like, we spent 5 minutes talking about they wrote into the scene.
Yep.
The condom.
Yep.
So they're one, either they're misdirecting us, or two, there's another man. And then I thought, three, what are the chances that it's George's? So,
or anyways. Maybe he just apparently has potent condom fighting sperm,
which some men do. My other thought was, there's no way it's going to be a false positive, or she's going to miscarry, and that's going to be a whole episode about it or something. But there's no way that they make someone pregnant this early onto the show. And
it's early. It's the seventh season. I mean, the seventh episode of the first season. That's quick.
Yeah. So there's no way that that's going to stick. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And then I'm shocked. But there was no way. And I thought, okay, well, what if they're writing her off with getting her pregnant? But I thought, oh, wait, no, she's Kelsey's favorite character.
Yeah.
She's going to be here forever. So she's not going anywhere.
So, yeah, that's a bit of a cliffhanger. Maybe the biggest cliffhanger we've had so far.
Yeah, the only thing closer than that would be literally when they had sex the first time.
Yes,
at the end
that
of
was
episode.
Also that was also a cliffhanger.
What were your thoughts? Actually, don't share them because you're going to give away everything because you don't have any thoughts on that. But
I have no thoughts.
No, I'm kidding. Do you remember the first time you watched that scene?
I don't. This season is hard because I came in a really, and when we get to the episode, the first episode I ever saw, I'll note it, but it's in the third season. Like, I had seen an episode and then gone back and watched everything. So I had kind of known a little more information prior. So it's kind of weird how I got into it. I don't remember this specifically. I mean, I remember this plot line. I don't remember this episode specifically seeing this for the first time. Yeah, it's a cliffhanger, that's for sure.
It is a cliffhanger. Also, this episode of You and Me ending this podcast is a cliffhanger, too.
Cliffhanger. Well, we have to rate it.
find out in the next one. No, I'm kidding.
rating is end of episode.
I am giving this episode a 3 out of 5.
Yes, same.
3 out of 5.
Same Z's.
It would have maybe been higher because of the way that they're making you like Alex and the backstory on Izzy. If a couple of things. One, if George didn't suck so much in this episode.
Yeah.
And if that annoying couple with the key thing didn't exist. That was my
also,
least favorite
Izzy
part of
was
episode.
Really annoying for a lot of the episode up until the
she
end.
Was.
She was being a very, very high schooly. And I understand that the explanation at the end makes me look at it different, but getting through there is frustrating to watch. It's annoying. Also, there wasn't a lot of Meredith Christina time, which is my favorite time. So it loses points for me because we don't get that. Yeah, overall, fine. Not bad for sure. Middle of the road. Right down the middle. I'm into it.
Exactly down the middle.
It's important. Obviously, it's a very important episode at the very end. And it's important because now we know that George and Izzy know about Derek and Meredith. So,
and this is the last episode before the season finale, correct?
No, there's 9 episodes. So
9
we have
episodes.
Next episode and then the finale.
I'm just predicting that there's going to be a bigger cliffhanger in episode 8. I can feel it.
In episode 8. But not episode 9.
There's going to be a huge cliffhanger in episode 9, but the biggest
but a
cliffhanger
big cliffhanger
to date.
In episode 8.
Yeah, big cliffhanger episode 8. Anyways.
Okay. Well,
have a good week.
We'll have to find out. So next time, watch out episode 8, and we will also watch episode 8, and then we will come back here and talk about it again.
Yeah, and next time we record this podcast and you guys hear us talking, I might be a dad. So, you know, whatever.
It's true. Who knows? We'll update you when we have it and when we have that information.
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and just open this up. Just in case we don't have an episode next week, we can't. Not that we don't want to, we can't. So
there's not one, assume that's the reason.
Yeah, but we'll put something out to make sure you guys have some content, some fire content.
But thank you for listening. Follow us on the Instagram. If you have medical information, please share with us on our email account, graysacademypod@gmail.com. Tell your friends. Tell your coworkers, tell your loved ones to listen, share. Please. Thank you so much for hanging out and watching and listening with us. And we will talk to you guys soon.
and no spoilies.